Jesus. I like to emphasize the word my. Having him as your Jesus means all the difference in the world. Good to have you with us tonight, Jordan Baptist Church. May just be a little bit difficult. We've been over moms, and they just called just before we started tonight and told us that she'd passed away, and she made her trip on to heaven, and she is now present with the Lord. And we want to thank you for all your prayers. We want to thank you for your concern and your love. And we debated on what to do, but I'm confident she would want us to go ahead and try to do this. And so we'll try and do the best we can with this. But just remember the family. Speaking to the church family, we will let you know arrangements. Of course, right now, only they allow 10 people to go into the funeral home during the funeral. We will be having it online as we've been having our services. And we will try to inform you the time and dates when we get all those worked out later on. But just be in prayer for the family. I just say this and won't spend a lot of time with it. I'll save it for another time. I'm thankful that God gave me the mother he gave me. And I'm glad that I have not had to sit here and weigh out what's going on with mom because of her teaching, her testimony, and the spirit that I've seen from her. I know exactly what's going on with her as far as the scripture relates to us. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And she's made that journey now. We've been teaching on Wednesday night on the spirit, soul, and flesh. She no longer has her flesh. And that's something to shout about. Amen. She left her flesh behind. And when she comes back to get a body, it will be changed into a glorified body. So she's seen all the old flesh that she'll ever see. And as good as she was, as a godly of Christian example she was to us, she still struggled with that flesh, as we will see when we teach. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to Galatians chapter 5. I do have a couple other requests that people's asked me. I've got a first cousin. His son, Kay, is been in the hospital, just getting out. Got several problems. I want to remember him in prayer and ask that you lift him up in prayer. And also continue remembering Merle. He's still struggling with some things, and Hope as well with her pregnancy. And I told Brother Porter we continue lifting him up with the blood clots, recovering as well, and then of course all the ones that we continue to lift up in the church. So in Galatians chapter 5, if you remember last week, we talked about babes in Christ. We've been teaching on the issue of flesh. And flesh, we defined flesh and looked at flesh and expressed a couple of Wednesday nights ago that whether you're saved or lost, your flesh is the same. You still have a flesh that no good thing is in. Then last week we looked at being saved and yet being babes in Christ way longer than what you should take to grow out of being a babe in Christ. And we looked at things that comes into our life and works of the flesh as babes in Christ that causes all kinds of problems within the church. One that comes to mind is just divisions and schisms that happens. And, you know, when you hear these churches splitting and you hear these churches having all these problems, you can just about always count it up to one thing, flesh. And someone is allowing the flesh to have control. If you look back in Galatians chapter 5 and keep your Bibles open, the Bible says in verse 17, "For the flesh lusts against the spirit, the spirit against the flesh, these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Now I read those to remind you that those were sins that defile, sins associated with Satan, sins that are unrighteous, sins of temperament, sins of division, sins of indulgence. Now, there's two different types, and I want you to listen tonight, because a lot of people has a problem with this. Being a pastor, and I know if there's other pastors listening tonight, they will tell you the same thing. I cannot tell you how many people comes to me and says, "Will you preach my daddy or my mama's funeral?" And of course, when you don't know them, first thing you want to ask is, were they saved? A lot of times said, well, they didn't go to church, didn't claim to be saved, but they were good people. And I want to preach about the good works of the flesh tonight. And I want to deal with some issues. You see, there's only two types of works of the flesh: the unrighteous works that we just read, and the others is self-righteous works. You say, well, there's nothing self-righteous about my dad being a good daddy. Yes, those are self-righteous works, and we'll get into that and show you a little bit in just a moment. You see, the flesh, it has some lust to do good things sometimes. It does good things for its own advantage. Sometimes it goes but whenever the flesh is the deciding factor of what someone is doing, then it opposes God. Now, if a person's saved, and by the way, we're going to get into this tonight too, in temptations. When someone is saved, they can also have the Spirit as well, and yet they be guided by the flesh and have their soul and flesh doing the works. Let me give you an example. I could be tonight preaching for flesh. I could be preaching for someone to brag on me. I could be preaching to have someone to glorify myself. You see, whenever the flesh is at the root of something, a work, they always have their self wanting to be exalted. The difference between allowing your soul to lean toward the Spirit instead of your soul leaning toward the flesh in performing a work is the Spirit wants to glorify God. The flesh wants to glorify self. Now, if I'm preaching for my own glorification tonight, I'm preaching in the flesh. If I'm preaching to glorify God, then I'm allowing the Spirit of God to guide me. I'm seeking that God would be glorified in this, not myself, that I would move myself out. You see, when flesh opposes and rebels against God's law, that is unrighteous works. But when flesh begins to work good deeds, in its mind's good deeds, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. We know that. We also know that the works of man, that his righteousness, Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6, his righteousness is as filthy rags to God. You see, even me being a saved person, if I'm preaching in my flesh tonight, I'm opposed to the Spirit. Now, I'm sure all of you probably been in a service where someone's got up to preach or someone's got up to sing, and instead of, you could tell right away, they were not wanting to glorify God. They were wanting to glorify themselves. And so, now, some people, of course, may not even be saved that does something like that, But there's people that are saved that does that. And what they're doing is they're allowing the flesh to seek self-glorification. In other words, self-will. They want self-righteousness. They want to perform their own righteousness. And sometimes they'll get up and they'll make long, drawn-out speeches, and they'll talk about and pretend to be so humble, yet at the same time, they're seeking that self-glorification. What they're doing is allowing the flesh to have control. Then there's sometimes when people gets up and they just want to, their spirit is moved, and they want to sing a song for the glorification of God. And they sing, and they don't have to hit every note. They don't have to sing perfectly in tune. But man, you can tell sometimes when God's in something. And you can tell when he's getting glory, and you can tell sometimes when someone else is seeking the glory. You see, the devil not only tempts us to do unrighteous works, he also tempts us to do self-righteous works. He wants us, and see, if you remember when we talked about the soul and the flesh, before you get saved, they become dependent. They are independent, I should say, and they become self-supportive. They do things in their own way. That's a characteristic of them. And they have their own self-will. They have their own self-righteousness. They do good in their own eyes, and they decide what's good and what's not good. And so sometimes people say, well, preacher, he was a good man. Well, in your eyes, he was a good man. But in God's eyes, if he rejected the gift of God, all his good was his filthy rags, because he was doing it for self glorification, self-will. In other words, he was failing to do something that God was requiring each and every person to do. You see, our chief purpose, our chief end in being created is to glorify God. And so what we need to understand is, if we live our life and we reject the gift of God, that gift of God was given to us, which was his son, by God's love, but was given to us to enable us to get back in a position where we could glorify God in our life, where God could work good works in us, works that would be carried to heaven. Now, those of you who knows my mom, and been around mom for many years, you would know she's laid a lot of good works up in heaven. I mean, I've seen it through 62 years being there. I've seen her pray. She's not only prayed for me, I've seen her pray hours for individuals. I've seen her go witness to people. I've seen her win people to the Lord. I've seen her serve. I've seen her spirit. And she was submissive to her husband. She loved the church. She gave herself. And man, self-sacrificing, because she was looking for rewards in heaven, not rewards upon the earth. She wasn't looking to be all glamorous. She was looking to have that glamorous spirit. And because of that, I believe God's got something waiting for her in heaven. But you see, the flesh. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3, if you turn on over there in verse number 3, he says, "Are ye so foolish, having begun in the spirit? Are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" In other words, they were trying to do good deeds just with the flesh and not allowing the spirit to control the soul and lead the soul to do things for the right reason, to glorify God, but they were doing it for their own self-glorification. I remember many times she would sing, she would do things, and I had no doubt in my mind. Many places that we would go to, she was able to play 3 or 4 songs on the piano. And every service, when we didn't have a piano player, we'd play the same 3 or 4 songs every single service. And And I'm sure there's people that laughed about it, and some maybe mocked it, but she never said a word. She'd just step up there and she would play to the best of her ability and try to glorify God. You see, anything that originates in the flesh for self is flesh. And it'll always be flesh. It's always enmity with God. God gets no glory when our flesh does something. And we have to be very careful, because we are tempted. We are not only tempted in unrighteous works of the flesh. The devil's smart, and he tempts us in self-righteous works of the flesh. You see, people that's not saved, what they're doing is they say they have no need of the Holy Spirit of God. They say they have no need of the Son of God. They say they have no need to humble themselves because of the pride of life. You say, well, why can you say my daddy was a good man? He was a good daddy. He provided for us. Isn't that what God wanted? Yes, that's what God wills for every dad. But he was self-serving in the fact that he refused to humble himself before God. God wasn't getting the glory in his life. He was getting the glory in his life. That's works of the flesh in an unsaved individual. And even those of us who saved, we don't wait upon God. The Bible says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. So many times, how many times have we had issues in our life? And instead of praying and seeking God's face and waiting upon God, we took our own thoughts and our own ways and our own strength, and we tried to fix the problem. That's the flesh. Even when we get saved, it's still the flesh that we have to deal with. The unrighteous acts and works of the flesh, the self-righteous, the self-will works of the flesh. And so therefore we fail to pray and beseech God. In Philippians chapter 3, verse number 3, Paul said, and he was talking about some conditions of those who are saved, and one of the conditions was that they have no confidence in the flesh. Last week, if you remember, the earmark for a babe in Christ and growing on to maturity as a Christian was you had to learn to hate your flesh. You know, I look around the world and I look around this community. You know who I hate most? This old flesh right here. You know, when I look at my old flesh, it makes me look at you a lot differently. And the more that I see my flesh, the more I hate my flesh. Because as Paul related in Romans chapter 7, it makes me do things I don't want to do and things I would not do, I do want to do, those things I do not. And it's that flesh within me, that sin within me. You say, are you giving up permission? Are you giving us green light to sin? No, all those comes with consequences. But what I'm trying to get you to understand is I want you to learn your flesh, because you'll never grow out of infancy until you learn your flesh. That's what's wrong in our churches. We have people in positions of Sunday school teachers, deacons, and other places, and leading in music and other places, that are babes in Christ. And every time you turn around, they're causing divisions and schisms in the church, because they've never learned to hate their own flesh. They think too much of their flesh. And by doing that, it's that self-righteous works that comes out of their flesh. And somebody said, oh, they do a good work. But what you need to understand is, sometimes people just does it to be seen. They do it to be heard. They want their compliment. And when someone comes in and rivals that, I've seen times when someone would come in and preach, or someone come in and sing a song, and people that sung or preached in the church got jealous because they did such a good job. And people shouted, maybe when they preach, a lot of people come to the altar. Now, what kind of attitude is that? Where's that attitude coming from? That comes from our flesh. That's that self-righteous. And the devil is he is so keen. And we wonder what's going on with our churches and why we have so many problems in our churches. Most of it's because of the flesh that we don't even learn, and people don't preach about the flesh anymore when you get saved. They pretend like once you get saved, the flesh is left behind, and you just go on, and it's all roses. But there's a warfare. The flesh begins to lust against the spirit, and the spirit against flesh. Turn with me, if you would, over in your Bibles real quickly, to Matthew chapter 4. In Matthew chapter 4, we have the story of the temptation of Jesus. Now, he was tempted, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews that he was tempted in all points like man, yet without sin. Now, listen this minute. When he goes, now watch how Satan tries to tempt Jesus. Now picture this. Satan always comes to him as a son of man, to depend upon himself and not to depend upon God. He tries to get him to be self-relying. And could Jesus do the things he asked him to do? Could he command stones to turn to bread? Absolutely. But you see, Jesus was there as man, as man's propitiation, as man's substitute. And so as man, he had to face the temptations, and therefore he had to face the temptations, and in doing so, knows what he did. In verse number 1, chapter 4, it says, "Then was Jesus led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward a hunger." Boy, I read that scripture, and I think, man, if I went 40 days and 40 nights without something to eat, I'd be pretty hungry. I mean, think of this. Think of the weak position that Jesus' physical body as man was in after not eating. I mean, I watched my mom. She's not ate for the last 9 or 10 days. And I've seen her body, how weak it's got. I can imagine after 40 days and 40 nights. Notice verse 3. "And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread.'" So here he come. He said, be self-reliant. Let me stir your flesh a little bit. You got it within yourself to do this without God. That's the same thing he used on Eve. God knows that when you eat of that fruit, you'll be as wise as he is. Look in verse 4. "But he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.'" So what he did was, he went from being self-reliant and self-righteous to depending upon God and allowing the Spirit of God to glorify God. And now notice that Satan was wanting to just glorify him and bypass his heavenly Father. Notice the next one. The Bible says in verse 5, "Then the devil taketh him up in the holy city and setteth him on the pinnacle of his temple. And he saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and their hands shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' And Jesus said unto him, 'It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.'" Again, Satan wanted him to react self-dependent, independent of God, self upon himself. But Jesus reminded him that we were not to tempt the Lord our God. Then in verse 8, "And again the devil taketh him up in an exceed high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto them, 'These things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me.' Then said Jesus unto him, 'Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve.' Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." So notice here that Jesus, when he was tempted, he tried to tempt him in his flesh, but Jesus' flesh was without sin. He did not succumb to unrighteous works. And notice he wasn't trying at first to get them unrighteous, but he would not succumb to self-righteous works of the flesh either. Now, those of you would, in James chapter 1, real quickly, turn. I got a couple other places I want to go to real quick before I close up tonight. It's hard to get everything said that you want to get said. There's two temptings that God does. He tempts us for good. He tries us for good. And in James chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that trying your faith worketh patience. There is one a temptation that God does that tries our faith, and it exercises our faith, and it strengthens our faith when we overcome that temptation. Now, those are good temptations. That's trials that God puts us through to strengthen us. Then there's another one, if you look in verse 13, that tries to get us to do evil. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away in his own lust and enticed. Then when that lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. So there we have what happens when Satan tries to get us to do evil. We are tempted when we are drawn away by the lust of our flesh. And by the way, sometimes we give way too much credit to Satan when it's our old flesh and the lust thereof. The Bible says lust of the eyes, lust of flesh, and the pride of life. Now turn one more place, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I know this is a familiar verse, but I want you to hear it. It says in verse 13, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Now what you need to understand is, what we have to learn to do in temptation is this. When we are being tempted of God in trying of our faith, we are to trust God. When we are being tempted to do evil and sin, we are to trust the faithfulness of God as well. Now, what do you mean by trusting faithfulness of God? Number one, we need to realize here that God says he permits temptations, both kinds, to come to us. And notice here that he says it's common to man. It's nothing unusual to you. You say, preacher, why does God allow these temptations come? It's for our growth. It's to help us. But he suffers us to be tempted. Now, second of all, you need to understand the faithfulness of God. He not only suffers you, but he also proportions the temptations according to your strength and what you are able to bear. Now, I can't imagine me being tempted like Job. I don't see myself overcoming those things. But you know, all things are possible with God. I would like to think I could, but I don't know what I would do if everything I had was wiped out in a day's time. Then my flesh and boils, and I couldn't even sit down. I couldn't have any peace. I don't know what I would have done. All I got to say is this. I sure thank God that he chose Job instead of me, because Job has helped so many people. But you see, God allows those temptations to come, but he, with each temptation, he doesn't allow it to overbear what our ability to deal with that temptation is. And he knows each of us. So we, as saved people, when we are being tempted, unrighteous works of the flesh, self-righteous works of the flesh, we can overcome it because God's not going to allow something come upon us that we're unable to bear. Last but not least, he always provides, notice he would, a way to escape that we may be able to bear it. And so we've got to understand, to escape, there's several ways he provides that. One, he wants us. And by the way, let me say this. Somebody said, well, I'm looking for a way in case this temptation comes. You'll never see the way until the temptation comes, and then God will provide that way. Sometimes that way, and by the way, you've got to seek it. You say, preacher, boy, this is coming in my life. Then this is what you do. Instead of taking your own strength and your own ability and going after that thing, seek God. That's the difference between the spirit-led soul and the flesh-led soul in temptation. If you see a temptation, I can handle that. I can overcome that. I can face those things. I can do those things. Who are you depending upon? God wants you to wait upon Him. God wants you to pray unto Him. And God wants you to seek His will. And so therefore you pray and you let the Spirit of God guide you in that thing. Then sometimes it's simply just get away from it. And sometimes we need to be very careful not to let our thoughts and our ways get ahead of God's thoughts and God's ways. Flesh, our thoughts, our ways. Spirit, God's thoughts, His ways. Well, I know God said, you know, let me, again, I'll use my mother since this is a very special night. I can tell you, I've seen my mother hurt so many times. Dad pastored churches for 47 years. I've seen people do things that was supposed to be Christian people that was pretty, pretty ugly. I've seen the flesh rise up many, many times. I've seen things happen in her own family that tore my mom's heart. I've seen many times, and each and every time, my dad at times was not an easy man to live with. And sometimes he would come and he would do certain things, but she always submitted herself to his headship. Never in all the years that I lived did she override the leadership of my dad. If she had something that she wanted to do, she would tell him privately. She would never challenge his authority in front of the kids. And if he come in at 3:00 in the morning, he said, I'm hungry, she'd get up out of bed and she'd go fix something to eat and she'd never say a word. If he'd say, I want you to go to the store and get me something when he was sick, before he died, sometimes he'd get a hankering for something 2:00 in the morning. She'd get up and she'd never say a word. She'd just go. She was submissive. She was submissive to the Holy Spirit of God. When people would say hurt her, be saying bad things and ugly things, many things wasn't true. She would just pray for them and love them. And I never heard her say anything critical about them. And they could hurt her to the umpteenth degree and come to her the next day and she treat them with love and kindness. She had a spirit led because she was submissive. James chapter 4, listen to this, last. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Ending this up on this thought. What God and what the Spirit wants in your life as a Christian is when you have that temptation, be that submissive to God. Resist the devil. And the Bible says you submit to God, you resist the devil, he'll flee from you, just as he did Jesus. And so therefore, tonight, I hope you understood my point. So many people just seize the unrighteous works of the flesh. And the devil deceives them with the self-righteous works of the flesh. And we need to be conscious about the self. And you said, how can I tell whether it's a good, if it's a good work that God would have me do, how can I tell whether it's my flesh or my spirit? If you're being glorified, it's your flesh. If God's being glorified, it'll be your spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we prayed just a few moments ago before we came here over Mom and we commended her spirit unto you, we knew she didn't have many more hours upon the earth. And Lord, we're glad that you took her, and we're glad that she has a place, Lord, that you promised. And we're glad for your faithfulness. Lord, her journey is over. Now we pray for all those that are listening, including my own journey. God, help us to understand the flesh, to be able to battle against the things of the flesh, to be able to understand the flesh. Lord, until we understand the flesh, we just don't hate the flesh. We don't beat up the flesh like we need to. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would take this night and our study and make it clear and understanding, Lord, to those who may be battling certain things in their life. And help each of us. Because, Lord, there's all, each of us at certain times, we give way to the flesh. And, Lord, we do it for self versus giving way to the Spirit in our life, which glorifies God. Forgive us where we fail you. Be with us tonight. Be with our family, Lord, during this time. I ask this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen.